it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
First, it was Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Logan Ryan, off the deflection, takes it to the end zone.
And the Titans put a dent in the dynasty, winning 2013.
The Tennessee Titans have come into Foxborough, and they're about to shock the New England Patriots.
Today wasn't pretty. Offensively, we didn't do a whole lot, but we did enough. And our defense played big for us here in the second half. Kept us in it, and then found a way to win.
Then it was Lamar Jackson and the top-seeded Ravens.
It's Khalif Raymond hauling it in, and Tennessee takes a two-score lead.
And the Titans got revenge on bitter defeats in past postseason, winning 28-12.
Now Henry takes a direct snap, throws a little lob pass over the middle, and it's caught by Corey Davis in the back of the end zone.
Stats and all that stuff is good, but we got the win, and we're advancing. That's the most important thing.
Now, it's the AFC Championship.
We ain't done dancing.
Standing in the way of a trip to the Super Bowl is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, I think that's a confident football team. I mean, they had won 7 in a row. They're fully aware of their explosiveness and what they can do. I'd like to think that we're playing with a lot of confidence, too.
The Titans have had their number in recent years.
Suck them. And this one is good.
Eric Decker hangs on to that one for one of the biggest catches of his life.
The Titans pull off one more upset to punch their ticket to Miami.
We're not going to be complacent. We continue to improve. Don't change what we've been doing, okay? Working together, preparing, playing together.
It's time for the Titans to take everything.
Why not us?
The best Titans coverage lives on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Doesn't that just get you jacked up on this Saturday morning? Hello, everybody. Ryan Porth alongside Teresa Walker of the Associated Press, kicking off 8 hours today of live local coverage of the Tennessee Titans making their first AFC Championship appearance in 17 years. Teresa, welcome in. Thank you for coming in studio with me this morning.
My pleasure, Ryan. I mean, let's face it. It's how can we while away these hours until kickoff tomorrow? I know that I can't be the only one, antsy. This is one where I wish I were going to Kansas City so I could just have the travel to at least kill the time. But I'm going to be going to Super Bowl for the week for AP in Miami. But, I'd love to be, let's see what happens. I can't wait.
You would love to be covering the Titans down
in
Miami.
I would love to be covering the team that I know for AP in the Super Bowl, yes.
100%. Well, I kind of wish the game was on Saturday night like it has been the last 2 weeks, just to eliminate that one extra sleep that we have to go through before 2:05 kickoff tomorrow afternoon.
That's been the best thing about them having that Saturday night. It was a little bit of a jam. They come back from Houston and had to turn around immediately. It was a short week, but they handled that well. Now they get a little bit of a benefit, maybe getting an extra day of this week to kind of rest and get those legs back. And, with Adam Humphries, Jayon Brown, who missed the last game, maybe that is a little bit of a benefit. We'll find out tomorrow.
Well, and we don't know yet the status of Chris Jones, defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the big injury question mark for the Chiefs, and if Chris Jones can't go for the Chiefs, Derrick Henry, the chances of him having another big day go up
exponentially.
That much more.
Yes, and remember, he went for 188 in November against the Chiefs, and that was when this team, I talked to Roger Saffold. He told me this week that he didn't think the offensive line really started coming together until the bye week after that. They needed a little break, then they came back. So we've seen them just absolutely mauling people off the line. So if there's not a Chris Jones there, then wow. We've already seen Derrick Henry running into history, 3 straight games of 180. I mean, it's just insane what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
That would help it very, very much to the power of maybe pie.
Well, not only Derrick Henry running for 188 in Week 10, but you think of the last time the Titans were in Kansas City for a playoff game, that wild card weekend 2 years ago. Derrick Henry put the team on his back along with Marcus Mariota in that second half comeback. He ran for, what, like a buck 52? Buck 56?
156
in that game. And combined, that's 344 rushing yards in the last two appearances that Derrick Henry has had against the Chiefs.
And the thing that, and yes, the offensive line's playing great, but Derrick Henry has found a new gear. It's almost like, you know, he's nicknamed the El Tractorcito. He's found overdrive. And you just watch him in this postseason. He is running with a more determined look. I mean, he starts running. It's like, I'm running through you. I'm running over you, even if it's a three-yard run. And then we see him. He just finds a way in that second half to break something open. So it's fun to watch him. You know, my colleague John Zehner talked to Nick Saban on Thursday, and I know he was on with somebody here in the last few days.
Yes, morning
He's
drive.
Running the way he did helping Alabama win the 2015 national title. And I can use this comparison. It's almost like he's a horse that smells the barn. But for Derrick Henry, the barn is winning a championship.
I like that. Very well done.
Well, that's the thing. There's just this light in his eye. It's like, you know, he was the guy back in training camp. Why not us?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that is why we watch sports. That's the beauty. I mean, you know, Kenny Vaccaro told a reporter this week, it's like, yeah, we, you know, there's like three elite glamour teams here and we're the dumbs over in the corner. And that's why we watch sports, is to see somebody rise up and do something that we hadn't expected. And the Titans have done that in a spectacular fashion here.
Well, and Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill are getting a lot of the headlines for this team, especially on a national scale, and rightfully so with how well they have each played since Ryan Tannehill took over at quarterback. But it's almost like there's been a different hero, a different unsung hero throughout this entire ride where, you know, they sat there at 2-4, then they have the improbable goal line stand against the Chargers. They have the fourth quarter comeback against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have the wild win against Kansas City that we've already discussed with Henry going for 188, Adam Humphrey scoring the go-ahead touchdown, Josh Kalu with a blocked field goal. Then you have just a dominant win over Jacksonville where Derrick Henry basically pulled off what he did last year with another long, epic run against the Jags. Then you have the game in Indy that exercised a lot of demons in that stadium where you have the blocked field goal taken all the way back by Ty Smith, right?
Yep. Yep.
And then dominant win against the Raiders, Derrick Henry then taking over in Houston, but the defense has been spectacular these last 2 weeks. It's just a collective team effort, as Mike Vrabel would say, complimentary football, a lot of different guys rising to the occasion to make it so that this team is in the AFC title game.
And this is where credit goes to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, because, you know, when they bring guys in, you know, some guys, you know, if you're stuck on the practice squad or you're a guy who, you know, look at Khalif Raymond. He catches the big touchdown last week in Baltimore. Look at his transactions page sometime, you know, on, off rosters, here, there. He's been around and done things. David Long is a rookie, and, you know, he gets put in. He was a guy who forced a fumble that Rashawn Evans returned against the Chiefs, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and he gets into a game as a rookie and makes a big play. You know, Ty Smith, a guy who's been around for the last year or so, and he gets in, takes a blocked field goal for a touchdown. So they've gotten that kind of production up and down the lineup, and part of that is bringing in guys that can accept a role, saying, listen, we're going to need you to do this week, you know, prepare, and then if we have to tap you on Saturday, you've got to be able and ready to play on Sunday when the lights go on. And they've found those guys, and they've coached them up, and those guys have been ready to contribute when they've been needed.
You bring up the transactions page. That's a transactions page for John Robinson that has been questioned by a lot of people leading up to this run since mid-October. When you look at particularly some of the first-round picks, some of the bigger free agent signings, you know, Roger Saffold did not look like a highly paid guard in the first few weeks of the season without Taylor Lewan. And really, since that bye week, like you mentioned, they're now hitting on all cylinders. But that looked like a questionable signing even earlier this season. Some of the draft picks, and now a lot of that is starting to pay off and look like good moves by John Robinson.
stat this week, the rookie class, the Titans have gotten more offensive and defensive snaps out of their rookies than any team in the NFL this year. That's how much production they've gotten out of a draft class that misses DeAndre Walker, who was put on IR essentially before training camp started. So, and let's face it, John Robinson was being heavily criticized, and the one kind of asterisk is kicker. And this is the amazing thing. Think about this, Ryan. If they had brought in a kicker for training camp, a real kicker, not a guy who's mostly a punter, to be ready in case Ryan Succop wasn't, and obviously we saw he wasn't, you know, NFL worst 44.4% on field goals. And they've 8 of 18. They lost the Colts game because Cairo Santos missed a 45-yarder in the fourth quarter. He had 3 missed and 1 blocked in a 7-point loss to the Bills. If they win those games, they're 4-2. Maybe they never have to bench Marcus, and maybe it's just a 9-7 season, and they end up outside the playoffs again. You know, that's the thing that we can't go back and measure. But you mentioned some of those draft picks. Kevin Dodd, number 33 pick overall. You know, that was a busted pick, but you know, guy who quit football a year ago. So, I mean, there have been some hits and misses by John Robinson, but you know, Jeffrey Simmons, AJ Brown, those guys are definitely helping cover up any of the woes.
You bring up the kickers, and the kickers have been maddening this season, but Greg Joseph, since he was signed in week 16, has not yet tried a field goal, which is just unbelievable to me. And you think of the last 10 games, they've only had one field goal.
They have a drought where it's the longest drought since 1980. 6 straight games without making a field goal.
Crazy.
Yeah, and back then in 1980, it was the Packers and the Saints that went that way, and they've done this. And they're now in the AFC Championship game, 1 win away from a Super Bowl berth. So that shows you 2 things, how effectively Derrick Henry is running and how effective this offense is. I mean, this is the stat that blows me away. Out of 35 red zone opportunities with Ryan Tannehill at center, at quarterback, they have scored touchdowns on 31 of those. You know, we're talking nearly 89% effective rate. That's what, you know, 30.4 points a game. That's the thing. The over, you know, 13 different guys on this roster, NFL high, have scored at least one touchdown in the red zone. So that's what's making up for the whole kicker issue.
Well, think of Titans teams in the past where they had to settle for field goals all day long on a lot of Sundays.
Rob Baronis 8 field goals in Houston.
Sure.
So, Jeff Fisher got to a Super Bowl in 99 with Al Del Greco making a lot of field goals. And that has just been an afterthought for this team.
Now this is one of the more fun offenses to watch because of their big playability, whether it's Derrick Henry, whether it's A.J. Brown, Ryan Tannehill distributing the ball to Jonnu Smith, Khalif Raymond. It's just been an unbelievable ride for this Titans team. And I would say probably one of the more unlikely runs when you think of they had to go on the road to Houston week 17. I know they were benching a lot of their starters in that game.
They still had to win the game.
They had to win the game to make the playoffs. They went on the road to Houston, to New England, to Baltimore, and now to Kansas City. If they win this game, they will have beaten all 4 AFC division winners on the road to make it to the Super Bowl in 4 consecutive weeks.
It is certainly among the toughest roads that anyone has had to make. Let's think. They're the 3rd number 6 seed to make it to a conference championship game. They're trying to match the Packers in 2010 and the Steelers in 2005 as 6 seeds to go all the way to a Super Bowl. And now, Titan fans, those teams won the Super Bowl that year. You know, and ESPN had a great stat earlier this week. They're the 3rd team to go on the road and beat both the number 1 scoring offense and number 1 scoring defense in a postseason. And guess what? The other 2 teams to do that won a Super Bowl. So, you know, they're doing things the hard way, but they're also doing things, you know, that when you do those kind of things, you're usually showing some power, ability. Something's come together to help you get to the final destination.
This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are kicking off 8 hours of coverage today. There will be 10 hours tomorrow, 8 hours leading up to kickoff, and then 2 hours of postgame with Willie Donick and Derek Mason right at the end of the game. So ESPN 102.5 The Game bringing a ton of Titans coverage, live Titans coverage this weekend as they visit Kansas City for the first AFC Championship game this franchise has played in 17 years. Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin coming up at 12 o'clock at McFadden's in Kansas City. And then Jared and the GM, a special edition of Jared and the GM 2-6 from McFadden's in the Power and Light District in Kansas City coming up this afternoon. There's
a lot of coverage. But you know what? I know that people want to hear it because you're just whiling away the time.
Absolutely. Well, before we move on, I do want to congratulate you, Teresa, and Pete Weber for your NSMA awards that were doled out this week. You won the Tennessee Sports Writer of the Year award. Congratulations once again for
thank you so
for
much,
winning
Ryan.
That award.
Appreciate it very much. Yeah, it's my
third
out of 5 years. I'm very happy.
That's very awesome. Very well deserved.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next, has the underdog role fueled this playoff run for the Tennessee Titans? We'll get into that next. She's Teresa Walker. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth and Teresa Walker here with you on this rainy Saturday morning in Music City, USA. The Titans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow. Kickoff at 2:05 p.m. at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. We have Chase McCabe, Jared Stillman, and Floyd Reese there on the scene in Kansas City. Their coverage, starting with Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin of News Channel 4, will be coming up at noon right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Teresa, you've been around this team all season long. And when you think back to the loss in Carolina, this team had about an 8% chance, according to sportsclubstats.com, of making the playoffs. And ever since then, they have won seven of nine games and now are one win away from the Super Bowl. Pretty hard to believe. And it kind of feels like this underdog role that they've been placed in really all through December and now in the playoffs has kind of been fueling a lot of this run. Would you agree?
I do agree because, I mean, let's face it, they were huge underdogs at, what was it, 5.5 points at New England. Mm-hmm. It is 7.5 points at the Ravens.
It was actually closer to 10. I believe it was about 9.5.
Yeah, see, I noticed the opening line, and then, it just went from there because mm-hmm. everyone, you know, hey, let's face it, everyone had the Ravens written in Sharpie for the Super Bowl. You know, forget pencil. Mm-hmm. And then there, you know, what is the latest, 7 for the Chiefs? So, yes, they've technically been underdogs. But let's face it, you know, I've been getting odds for weeks, months, and this team is right down there at the bottom. You know, it's nobody expected this. And if you remember back on the day of the Patriots game, you know, Tom Brady or whoever runs his social media account had tweeted out a video of him being the lion, being approached by the hyenas and the jackals. And, you know, and so everyone was expecting him to rise up and take care of the situation. And, you know, after that, Daquan Jones was just one of them, you know, talking about, you know, tweeted out a picture of some of the jackals surrounding the lion. And, yeah, we the jackals or the hyenas, I'm not sure which word he used. And
yeah.
Roger Saffold the same. It's easy for them to buy into that because, yes, this is a small market area. People ignore the Titans. I mean, I've seen on social media this week, they can't even say the word Titans right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and that's nothing new. You know, if you're a Predators fan, you know, people kind of tend to, even after the Stanley Cup run, it's like, who is this team? And all the Preds did is go win the President's Trophy. So this market is used to that. This team is used to it in the Titans. And you know what? Yes, they're kind of rallying around that. Street rats is a phrase that's also being used. So they're definitely bonding around that and enjoying that. Because they've made it very clear. They know they're not supposed to be at this party, and they don't care.
Well, when you think nationally, too, the former starting quarterback turned caveman has always been pronounced Mariota by
exactly.
a lot of national pundits when it's actually Mariota.
Well, the commissioner couldn't get it right at the draft, and he was the Heisman Trophy winner then.
He completely botched it. It wasn't Mariota. It wasn't Mariota.
Mariota? I'm not even sure what Roger Goodell did that day. So, and people are mispronouncing Tannehill. It's not Tannehill, like the former South Carolina quarterback. It's Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I know those of us in the South, we want to add some extra syllables. It's Tannehill.
Well, they're facing a Chiefs team that has not lost since the Titans beat them.
7 straight.
The Chiefs were sitting at 6-4 at that time. A lot of people were maybe questioning whether the Chiefs were going to be a Super Bowl contender after that game like they were last season. But they've won 7 straight. They look like a completely different team than they did, you know, back early in the season when Patrick Mahomes was going through.
Had a knee injury.
And an ankle injury.
Yep.
He was playing with a bum wheel. And now that offense is firing on all cylinders, and you can see why a lot of the pundits still are doubting the Titans going into this game. But Teresa, I got to say, I kind of expect the Titans to go out there and at least make it a close game, if not win the game tomorrow.
I'm expecting the Titans to win the game. Last night on Sirius, I picked a score, and you know, it's Two things. It's got the feel of 99. You know, the momentum that they got from the Music City Miracle, one play, drove them to a Super Bowl. And what we have seen them this team do this year, and, you know, Eddie George ran well in that 99 run. Derrick Henry is doing things we've never seen done in the NFL. So going into New England, going into Baltimore, those teams, you know, especially that franchise, the dynasty of the Patriots, you know, winners of two of the last three Super Bowls, it just feels like, you know, they've got that kind of momentum, confidence, belief. And that's the biggest thing. They believe that they can go in there and do what they need to do and come out with a win. And that's why I think they do go into Kansas City and get yet another win. And then, you know, I know streaks break. You know, they've won four straight against the Chiefs. Andy Reid is just 1-8 against the Chiefs or against the Titans. And, in fact, in the fourth quarter of that game in November, somebody messaged me on Twitter, you know, give me a stat to help me have belief the Titans can pull this out. And I said, Andy Reid 1-7 against the Titans. And he said, thanks, that'll work. And now he's 1-8.
It did work.
And now he's 1-8. And, you know, there's, you know, Andy Reid, you look at the other three coaches in the championship games, you know, Matt LaFleur in his first year, Vrabel in his second year, Kyle Shanahan's only been there for a minute, essentially. And Andy Reid is the guy who's been there, has more wins than anyone who has not won a championship. And you think, yes, at some point that's going to end. But this Titans team is just, they're almost like you know, a bowling ball, big bowling ball, and they're coming your way.
Derrick Henry is a massive bowling ball that no one wants to tackle. So,
especially not in late January after a full NFL schedule.
Especially when it's going to be
cold,
22 degrees tomorrow, his number.
Yes. Ironic, isn't it? It was his birthday in New England, and that's going to be the high in Kansas City. I mean, you know, if you're a numerologist, you can pull out a lot of things right now.
Well, I talked about this with Darren McFarland on Preds Insiders earlier this week, that this Titans run is a little reminiscent to what we saw from the Nashville Predators back in 2017.
Very much so.
Where in the first round of the playoffs, they faced a dynasty that wasn't the same as they had been, but everyone still expected them to win.
Because of who they were.
Correct. So the Blackhawks back then, the Patriots now. And they proved everybody wrong in that series, the Preds did, and the Titans did the same at Gillette Stadium. You think of the second round against the Ravens. I don't know how many correlations there would be between Baltimore and St. Louis, you know, in terms of the St. Louis Blues. But, you know, when the Preds threw a couple punches in that series, the Blues could not get back up on their feet. When the Titans threw a couple punches in that Ravens game, the Ravens had no response. They were done. They were cooked. And you think of this third round, the Preds have always had the Ducks number, especially in the playoffs. They always had the Ducks number.
Very much so.
The Titans have had the Chiefs number. You said what?
Four straight wins.
Against the Kansas City Chiefs. And this would make it three of the last 4 years beating them. Or not actually three times in the last 3 years beating them, twice this season.
Well, and just remember this. Even Ken Wisenhunt got a win against the Chiefs.
Week one.
Give him a time to prepare. He's ready.
Ken Wisenhunt's only two wins. He only had
three wins.
Two of them in week one.
Yes, season opener. Again, he's brilliant when you're scheming for a few months.
Woof, Ken Wisenhunt. We've come a long way since Ken Wisenhunt.
And think about this. Amy Adams-Strunk took over in March of 2015, and it took her a few months to see what's going on. In November, she fired Ken Wisenhunt. Look at where the team is from then. And the NFL was questioning Amy and the ownership and, you know, who's really in charge. Is there enough of a percentage? And does she have enough control? You know, and they fined this organization for, you know, the way they were splitting up. And all they've done is they're, you know, construction's underway on expanding the facility. They're, you know, in the AFC Championship game. Mike Vrabel is showing why they made the move to fire Mike Mularkey just 2 years ago.
Exactly. Well, speaking of the coaching staff, I want to get into that coming up next. Arthur Smith and Dean Pease have been absolutely fantastic in this playoff run. We'll get to their work coming up next. Plus, what do we feel good about within this matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs? Nate Washington coming up at 10:45, so stay tuned for that as well. She's Teresa Walker. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth, Teresa Walker of the Associated Press here with you on this Saturday morning. Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin live from McFadden's in Kansas City in the Power and Light District coming up at noon. We have a total of 8 hours today, 10 hours tomorrow of live coverage leading up to and after the AFC Championship game between the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. And Teresa, before the break, teased that we wanted to discuss this coaching staff and the job that they have done to get this team to the AFC Championship game. And early in the season, Arthur Smith, new offensive coordinator, went through a lot of growing pains with play calling. And I think a lot of that, too, was because Marcus Mariota just didn't have it in the first month and a half this season. Dean Pease and this defense, kind of an up-and-down season compared to last season, but now the defense firing on all cylinders, giving up a total of 25 points between going to New England and going to Baltimore. Very impressive. The two coordinators, Teresa, deserve a lot of credit for this team being in this place right now.
Absolutely. I mean, the defense carried them the first seven games, you know, holding opponents to no more than 20 points in any of those games. And then they started having some injuries and, you know, lost Malcolm Butler, Jarrell Casey missed a couple games, Jayon Brown with a groin, and they kind of got, they had some issues. In that offense, you know, Arthur Smith, I mean, we all remember the Carolina game. Everyone's like, you've got to give Derrick Henry the ball more than, three times in the first half?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, you know, that's your bread and butter. And, you know, the offensive line, you know, without Taylor Lewan, you know, the new pieces, you know, you finally get Nate Davis in at right guard as a rookie in the beginning of October, but he missed, you know, August. He missed training camp. So there were growing pains for that. So this offense had to come together and grow up and become, you know, and start getting to a point where he could start dialing things up. And he has grown as an offensive coordinator to, you know, lean into that. I mean, Mike Vrabel yesterday was wearing a beanie, run the D ball. And, you know, they're absolutely, you know, they know where their bread is buttered right now. But, you know, the play call that stood out to me the most from Arthur was the, you know, right after the fourth and one stop in Baltimore, he didn't
first
hesitate,
quarter.
Did not hesitate. He, you know, first play, Ryan Tannehill drops back and drops that ball to Khalif Raymond. That's how you win in the playoffs, and that's how you attack and you build and create more momentum. And it was a huge play and call by Arthur in that moment.
Well, actually, it was the early in the second quarter. Believe the fourth and one was the first play of the second quarter there. Where Lamar Jackson got stuffed and, you know, Dean Pease stopped, you know, helping put together plays to stop those two fourth and ones against the Ravens. Those were game changers, 100% game changers. That game may not go your way if the Ravens get both of those fourth and ones because the Titans responded with a touchdown each of those two drives. I mean, the Ravens moved the ball. They moved the ball. They had basically all of their drives outside of the one strip sack and in Titans territory all night long.
There's only one stat that truly matters in the NFL, and Dean Pease has kind of made this clear. The points allowed. You know, what's on the scoreboard at the end of games. And, you know, he's used, you know, this year they were 12th in scoring defense. He's used to having, like, top 10 scoring defenses, and they kind of slipped this year. And so that's been a kind of a point of pride for them to get back to where they've been. But the schemes that he did, yes, Lamar Jackson had a lot of numbers. But did he have the important numbers? No, he did not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the way they, you know, Dean Pease had that defense ready to go and working to bottle them up early. You know, the yards, it was garbage time that he got those yards.
Sure.
So when it mattered, when they were trying to seize control of the game, he had them smothered.
This is kind of your prototype bend but don't break defense.
Absolutely.
And they've been delivering with big plays in this postseason. And, you know, Dean Pease, kind of that wily veteran coordinator, he's been there, he's done that. I thought Dean Pease was the most important person going into that Ravens game because he had to scheme something up to slow down that rushing attack of the Ravens.
Nobody had done it. The Buffalo Bills came close, but they couldn't close the deal. And they used some of what the Bills did to build off of that. But they had Lamar Jackson running sideline to sideline. You didn't see him doing his human video game, you know, spins and going down the field. So that was what Dean Pease brought to that unit to help smother him.
But Arthur Smith, to me, has been more impressive because he hasn't been there and done that like Dean Pease has.
This is his first year ever.
The play that you bring up, the play action deep pass to Raymond to make it 14-0 in the first half against the Ravens, doing different things to keep defenses on their toes when they also know Derrick Henry is going to be fed the ball all night long, but doing different things like that play action pass, like Derrick Henry out of Wildcat throwing the ball to Corey Davis at the goal line.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
Doing the Tim Tebow, doing different things like that, mixing in a Marcus Mariota package each of the last few weeks. I really like the way Arthur Smith is just feeling it right now with his play calling.
Absolutely. This is a guy who had been working with the tight ends, who's worked his way up. This is an interesting guy. I mean, in Memphis, they know him very well. He is the son of, you know, FedEx chairman and founder Fred Smith. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy who loves football, and instead of, you know, sitting on a beach somewhere or at, you know, a fancy resort, he's been grinding for years in football. And when Matt LaFleur was going to the Packers to be the head coach, he was camping outside Mike Vrabel's office saying, I want a chance at coordinator. I want to be a head coach in this league, but I want to be coordinator for you. And Mike Vrabel took that chance, and he has absolutely grown into the role. And yeah, you talk about, he is in a rhythm right now, you know, mixing things up. And you know, Derrick Henry is doing a great job pounding against, you know, the yardage he's got against eight men or more in the box is just astounding. You know, it's ridiculous, the numbers and his success. But he is keeping defenses off pace with the way they are throwing and mixing in these little plays. I will say this, the fact that they've used Marcus Mariota each of the last three games makes me think that they're doing more than just making opponents, you know, spend time preparing for them. I'm expecting at some point a play where they really use Marcus to attack at a vulnerable time.
Is it going to be the fake 23 blast with the backside George reverse like in Remember the Titans?
Well,
and he's Rev, and Ryan Tannehill is Sunshine.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, remember, Tannehill was out wide left in Houston, and they didn't cover him. And so, you know, they've been working him in there. There's something. He was wide open on the jump pass. And, you know, as Andrew Siciliano of the Red Zone pointed out, you know, Derrick Henry threw into triple coverage.
He did, but it was accurate. It was pinpoint. Corey Davis came down with it.
Exactly. And that was the only target he was ever going to throw to.
But maybe Mariota throws to Tannehill, who played receiver at Texas A&M.
Yes, that's an absolute possibility.
Yeah.
So, or maybe, you know, maybe there's a handoff reverse. I mean, you know, this is the thing. We know that Marcus Mariota has been working. I talked to him Wednesday. He is willing to do anything they want to help this team win. And if that means, you know, whatever they're asking, he's willing to go do it.
Speaking of the coordinators, Dean Pease has a pretty tall task tomorrow, slowing down Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and all the weapons that they have on the Chiefs offense. And Tyreek Hill, earlier this week, was very confident in that Chiefs offense and that no defense in the NFL can slow them down.
Terry, the first half of the season, I recognize you missed a lot of these games, but we asked mm-hmm. you guys a lot about man-to-man defense.
Right.
We've seen a lot of it. Last week, you saw almost exclusively man-to-man defense. What's led to the progress you guys have made in that gap?
Well, I feel like nobody in the NFL can guard any of us. I mean, and that's no disrespect to nobody. That's just the confidence that I got. I mean, and myself and just the wideouts I got around me, including the tight ends and the running backs. I feel like no DB unit, no secondary unit, no linebacker or any defense can guard any of us. So man-to-man is just easy for us to beat. And if you just allow us to just run through zones, it's even easier. So
that was Tyreek Hill earlier this week.
That's a lot of confidence, but I'm going to counter with this. You know, there's a Titan secondary, and their motto for the last two seasons has been, my man catches no balls. And, yes, would they love to have Malcolm Butler out there this week? Yes, but he's on IR. He, you know, they've already used their two to return. That was Ryan Succop and Joshua Clue, who got the block against the Chiefs. So that
yep.
worked out really well.
Hmm.
But here's the thing. You've got Adoree Jackson. Yes, he's questionable, limited in practice this week, but he has played the last two games. So expecting him to be on the field Sunday, he's fast. He's their fast guy. Tremaine Brock, who, you know, the Arizona Cardinals cut him, and they get him off the waiver wire, and he has come in and been a huge piece for this defense.
Sure.
So, you know, you've got him. You've got Ty Smith, Logan Ryan, Kevin Byard, Kenny Vaccaro. I'm going to say this. Between Dean Pease and that secondary, Dean Pease is, you know, with his experience, he's got a chance to be the first guy to go to the Super Bowl with three different teams as defensive coordinator, and breaking a tie of guys with two of those. And I'm going to put my money on the fact that he's been scheming up something. You know, there was an open period Thursday that I mentioned between breaks that, you know, they asked us not to, you know, ask the TV guys, don't shoot that. And they're over there working and talking and doing some things. So I just have a feeling that Dean Pease has got something with those guys. And that's an experienced secondary group that communicates well, been together now for 2 years. So I'm going to put my money on them. You know, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Kelsey, they are good. They're going to make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
The key is, and what we've seen from this defense, you mentioned the bend but don't break, they come up with the moment where they have to have the big play, whether it's the tip pass for the Byard interception, Vaccaro breaking on a ball, getting a pick. They just have that knack to make the find that moment where they need to make the play, and they do.
Well, the return of Adoree Jackson.
Huge.
Huge. He's been fantastic these last couple games, and really all season long. I think this season, especially early this season, a lot of people thought of Adoree Jackson in a negative light because of what he did in the punt return game.
That didn't help.
But as a corner,
he's been
Adoree
excellent.
Jackson has taken strides this season, and he has absolutely been excellent in this postseason. And having Adoree Jackson on the field and healthy, having Adam Humphries on the field healthy, Jayon Brown on the field healthy, makes me feel good having these healthy bodies back in the lineup and on the field where you're not relying on some of the scrap heap or late draft picks to make big plays. Jayon Brown going up against Travis Kelce, if he's healthy, I feel a lot better about that than I would Wesley Woodyard or David Long going up against Travis Kelce.
Well, and here's the thing. Jayon Brown, his advantage is speed. He is a fast guy. He can cover sideline to sideline. And the thing, his injury is a shoulder. So, he's walking into the locker room yesterday. He's got a brace that he's got around that shoulder. So he may not be healthy, but in the NFL in late January, you just have to be healthy enough to go play and be effective. And his legs aren't affected. That means
sure.
He can run with Kelce.
100%. Coming up next, former Titans receiver Nate Washington will join us. We will get his perspective on how the Titans have gotten to this point of the AFC title game and his prediction on what will happen tomorrow in Kansas City. That's coming up next. She's Teresa Walker. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to this special Titans coverage on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth and Teresa Walker with you here on this Saturday morning. Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin taking over from McFadden's in Kansas City at noon. A special edition of Jared and the GM from 2 to 6 this afternoon. Also from McFadden's in the Power and Light District in Kansas City as we roll along with Titans Chiefs coverage. AFC Championship game tomorrow. 2:05 kickoff at Arrowhead Stadium. And joining us now here on ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nate Washington, former Tennessee Titans and NFL receiver. Nate, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, this Titans team, this underdog Titans team, sixth seed in the AFC, they go on the road to New England and win. They go on the road to Baltimore and win. What's kind of been your impression of how the Titans have gotten to this point, one win from the Super Bowl?
Well, they're a reflection of their leadership. Coach Vrabel is a physical, well-disciplined, knowledgeable guy about this game, it's just a reflection all through the team. This team has weathered the storm of, the regular season and may not have come out the back end of the season being the favorites, but when you look at the team itself, it has every makeup of being successful in a playoff run, especially when you go through the elements of the weather, throughout the different cities that you may end up playing in. They're physical. They run the ball first on offense. They're physical and disciplined on defense with a nice, well-structured secondary that can make plays on the ball, And I think any team that looks at this team really sees them for who they are. You take the biased fan hat off sometimes and you really break down the game for what it is, and they really have everything that they need to be successful for a great playoff run, they're just showing that, with each team that they play from New England to Baltimore, it doesn't matter what the game is going to look like. You're going to have to kind of play on their terms. You're going to have to wait to get the ball back because their run game has been successful. And on defense, you're going to have to make sure that your offense is going to have to be assignment sound against a well-structured, physical, disciplined defense with the Titans. So it's just been going good. I'm excited to see what they'll be able to do in Kansas City.
Nate, Teresa here. You were such a unselfish receiver at times, run blocking. When you look at, you mentioned the run that they're doing with Derrick Henry. How key is it, though, what the receivers are doing in the run game blocking? It's not easy to do that when you want the quarterback to be throwing you the ball. How key is that as well?
Teresa, you're an angel for acknowledging the playmakers on the outside right now for what they do.
I knew you'd like that.
It was just something we all incubated in our room, so that's awesome. But you're very right. in order, especially when you look at the runs that are 8-plus yards, you know, the 20-yard runs that he's had and the 60-yard runs that Derek has had throughout these playoffs, obviously he's done an awesome job of creating these, you know, runs on the back end of shedding tacklers and those things. But if you really go look at game film, I'm sure you'll see these receivers downfield doing everything they can as well to keep these guys off of him. And that's the only way you're going to get those type of runs. That's something that we used to pride ourselves in our room about. And I'm pretty sure, you know, looking at their receiver core from Corey Davis to AJ, you know, to every guy that's, you know, put a hat in to make sure that that run game has been successful, I'm pretty sure that they'll tell you that, especially at this point, it's not just about them. You know, when their plays come, they'll make them. And that's the reason why it's so important to show up and make your plays when they do come, because they'll be very limited. But they'll also be, you know, very, very helpful, as we've seen AJ be able to make plays, you know, and be successful with those things. So it's just, you know, you have to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. It's something that Sean Jefferson used to teach us, you know, when it comes to the passing game in offenses like this, where the run game is your primary part of your success.
Same thing for Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you know, he's been called on to hand off to Derek so much in these last two games, but being able to make the pass, the one to Khalif Raymond against the Ravens, how tough is that for a quarterback, and what are you seeing him execute so well?
The awesome thing about it is, you know, now we're seeing the playmaking ability from some guys other than Delanie Walker and, you know, some guys in the past. You know, Corey has done a good job when Tajay's been healthy, but now we're seeing a little bit of consistency in Janu and AJ coming up. So it gives him the opportunity to go out, and with handing the ball off so much, he has a win-win opportunity. You put this ball in the air for these guys, and it's no pressure. You know, you're asked to do it on a limited basis. So when it does happen, you know, it's not like you've been throwing the ball, you know, 50, 60 times a game and it's all on your arm. It's about, you know, hitting a wide open guy, because that's what the offense is predicated off of, with the run being first. You know, that run being first, it opens up a lot of opportunities on the back end. And whereas there may have been a little more stress to get open as a receiver, or a little bit more stress on the quarterback to put it in a tight place, you see guys running open because of the importance that the defense must have to show the run game. So this is, you know, prime Ryan Tannehill. He's doing exactly what is asked of him. He's not, you know, forcing anything. He's doing everything of maintaining the turnover possessions and keeping the ball in the possession of us, you know. So it's going well for him. You know, he's doing, making the good throws and putting the ball on the money and great situations for these guys. So it's very, very good to see him in this situation, kind of bring the pass game along as it's been coming along these last couple weeks in the playoffs.
Former NFL receiver and Titans receiver Nate Washington here with us. Nate, you were a part of two Super Bowl runs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And back in 05, the Steelers were kind of in that same underdog type role with, you know, going on the road every week and winning. What was that feeling like back in 05, being a part of kind of that underdog mentality and riding that wave with a rookie quarterback and Ben Roethlisberger all the way to a Super Bowl?
Well, you know, we were structured just like, you know, this Titans team. You know, we have veteran leadership with a lot of young guys that were in prominent roles. You know, our second-round draft pick, Brian McFadden, made some amazing plays in Indianapolis that playoff year. Our first-round draft pick, Heath Miller, was definitely a crucial part of our pass game that whole entire year. So we had some young guys and some crew, some definitely important positions. Ben was in his second year. But offensively, we were structured around the run. You know, we were a physical team. We were going to run the ball first. We had veteran leadership in Hines, Jerome Bettis at the time, that, you know, we're going to make sure that we understood the position that we were in and the opportunity that we had in front of us. We had a common goal also at that time to kind of get, you know, Jerome back to Detroit, with the Super Bowl being in Detroit that year and knowing that it would be his last year. It was just a different drive. You know, we had a well-disciplined, physical-minded, you know, make sure, you know, you were going to be assignment sound type of coach in Bill Cowher. And, you know, as much as we could have gotten caught up in the whole show or the market of being the sixth seed and being the underdog at that time, it didn't matter to us. You know, we just wanted to make sure that we went out and played good football and that we made sure that we did everything we could to win those ball games and have that feeling of feeling like we could go into, you know, the underdog role and win those ball games without the extra marketing or the extra, you know, talk that came behind it. We just wanted to make sure that we went and won those ball games, and that's what we did.
A.J. Brown had over 1,000 yards as a rookie receiver, 8 touchdowns, but here in the playoffs, he only has 2 catches. And A.J. Brown, obviously a big part of the regular season offense. What does he need to do tomorrow to become a big part of this team getting to the Super Bowl?
To continue to do what he's done. I mean, you look at the New England game, the run game was successful. If he's blocking, keep blocking. I don't think these – it's important, I think, you know, in a statistical era that we live in, when you get to these aspects of these games, you know, I understand that we can break down him personally, statistically, and say, well, he's went from being so good in the regular season to only having 2 catches. But look at our offense. You know, the offense was amazing in Baltimore. We put up, I think, you know, I can't speak for any other media or any other fan themselves, but I definitely wasn't expecting them to put up the points on the board in Baltimore that they did. They did an amazing job in New England of creating some wrinkles on the offense that gave them an opportunity to put points on the board. So, you know, in these aspects, you have to also look at, you know, well, where is the team at? If the team was suffering offensively and he only had 2 catches, then I can completely understand acknowledging him in this light. But if he's blocking, just keep blocking, man. If he's showing up on time, I mean, if he's being a decoy, if he's, you know, getting acknowledgement from any type of double coverage because of what he's been doing and he's not getting a ball, he just has to keep his spirit right now, because the reality of it is the offense is looking great, you know. So even his presence on the field will bring, you know, a different dynamic to the game that, you know, the Titans haven't had in a minute. And that's having a playmaker on the outside that has to be acknowledged that teams are going to want to take away. And if that's going on, he just has to continue to do those things and continue to be that type of aspect and vital part of that offense. Because other than that, this offense has been going great. I want them to continue to be successful in that aspect and hoping that they can continue to put these things together that have definitely woken up some eyes, I think, of people of Arthur Smith's ability to call plays. I know this is kind of a long-winded answer, but I just think it's much more than the 2 catches in the playoffs in this answer.
Nate, how real is momentum in the NFL playoffs? I ask this because there's been I saw Eddie George having a Twitter conversation with somebody a couple days ago saying, oh, that's not really a thing, and it dissipates after, you know, one game. You see this team going into New England, going into Baltimore. Is that something that they can use and continue building on tomorrow?
I believe so. I know everybody may have their personal opinion about it, but you know, just reflecting back, as you stated, you know, I've kind of been in this situation as being the 6th seed in Pittsburgh in 05. And, you know, it'd be foolish of me personally to say that momentum carried throughout those weeks didn't help us in Indianapolis, in Denver, and then on to Detroit to face Seattle, because I truly believed it did. You know, even after, unfortunately, you know, watching the injury to Carson, it kind of, you know, pushed a belief in of us that we can get this thing done moving forward. And that definitely created a snowball effect with our playmaking ability, you know, our mentality approaching these games moving forward. And I'm pretty sure it can help the Titans as well. You know, these just have to understand momentum is about, you know, understanding the possibility and seeing the potential and what's to come. You know, it's not about being complacent about what's happened or what you've been able to accomplish in the weeks previous. It's about understanding now that you're on this road, that if you continue to do what your coaches are asked of you, you continue to carry the practice field work over to, you know, the game field, that the possibility is there for you to get to the ultimate goal, which is the Lombardi.
Nate Washington, former Titans, Steelers, and Texans receiver here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nate, thank you so much for joining us today, and hopefully we're talking about a Titans win and a Super Bowl appearance next week.
Hey, it's possible, man. It's possible. I'm cheering for him every step of the way. I've become a fan like I never thought before.
Love it. Love it. Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, Nate.
All right, thank you.
Nate Washington, good stuff there on the Titans run to the AFC Championship game. Coming up next, Derrick Henry has obviously been a big part of this run. What kind of legend status is he approaching here in Nashville. We'll get to that coming up next. She's Teresa Walker. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in. Ryan Porth, Teresa Walker here with you. Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin of WSMV coming up at the top of the hour, live from the Power and Light District in Kansas City at McFadden's. Chase, Jared, and Floyd had a little bit of a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles to get to Kansas City last night.
I feel for anyone who was traveling yesterday. I mean, either going late Thursday or today, it was the optimum thing. I mean, that was just, that was miserable.
It was. They flew to Atlanta. Their connecting flight from Atlanta to KC got canceled. They got booked on another flight to KC. That got canceled. Then we came up with flying them to St. Louis, doing the show at KMOX Studios in St. Louis, Jared and Floyd, and then those two and Chase getting in a rental car and going from St. Louis to Kansas City, and they arrived about 12:30 last night.
Ouch. And people think this job is glamorous. No, to get to these locations, to get to the games, to get to these places and tell the stories and get on air, it's not easy sometimes.
It is not. So before the break, I teased, where in Titans history is Derrick Henry right now? Because I like to think, when I'm watching the Preds or the Titans or any sports game, I kind of like to take a step back while in the moment and think, what are we watching? Like, what significance is this that we're watching? And Derrick Henry, the first NFL running back of all time to hit 180 rushing yards or more in three consecutive games, that is impressive. He has put this team on his back. Now, last December, in their quest for getting to the playoffs, and the team came up just a little bit short, and now has put the team on his back again, and they are one win away from the Super Bowl. He has been the star of this team, and I tweeted this out after the game last Saturday against Baltimore, that I kind of feel like after Steve and Eddie, Steve McNair and Eddie George, Derrick Henry is in the conversation, if not is number three on that list. When you're thinking of all-time favorite Titans, this playoff run, I think, has catapulted him into number three.
He's easily at least four for this reason. Chris Johnson did have that 2,000-yard season, but the one thing that Derek has that CJ didn't is playoff wins. You know, the Titans lost the one playoff game that that CJ had his rookie season to the Ravens, and you know, he didn't get that. So that 2,000-yard season, you know, yes, that was wonderful history. It was the way they rallied in 2009, mm-hmm. but that was it. But when you look at this franchise and the fact that, you know, Eddie George, Chris Johnson, Earl Campbell, who was an NFL MVP in the late 70s when this was in the Houston Oilers, and Derek is doing things that none of those guys ever did. And if he does that again tomorrow, then they're in the Super Bowl. And that, you know, Eddie had the 68-yard run in Indianapolis. That helped them get to the first Super Bowl. So, yeah, he and Steve, they are right there at the top, particularly in this organization's Tennessee history. But, Derek could be number three with another great game tomorrow. Why? Because he'd have him in a Super Bowl.
Right. Well, I tweeted that out, and a lot of people were coming back saying, well, where's Earl Campbell on that list? And I'm thinking just exclusively Titans. I'm not counting the Houston Oilers when I say...
Well, those Houston Oilers with Earl didn't make it to a Super Bowl. So, you know, they ran into the Pittsburgh Steelers in 78 and 79. I watched those games. So, mm-hmm. He's an absolute miracle and master, and, you know, love watching him play. But again, Derrick Henry has done things in the postseason that we've not seen before. He's a few yards shy of, you know, catching Eric Dickerson. We just saw on TV this morning. I mean, he's doing things we've never seen done before. The 180 yards in three straight games, regular season and or playoffs, that had never been done in a league that is celebrating its 100th year this year. So
crazy.
He is and in Tennessee history, yes, he's right up there, because you know, you can name Keith Bullock, Javon Kearse, but with what Derek's doing, again, time and place matters. They are in the AFC Championship game for the first time in 17 years with a chance at just their second Super Bowl.
This is stuff of legend.
Yes.
That we are witnessing from number 22.
ask Earl Thomas. I mean, you know, the stiff arm and the turning him into a lead blocker, the jump pass. I mean, I watched, and I was trying to find it during the break, and I can't. But somebody put together a great video highlights of Henry, you know, the white outfit that he wore in last week, and you know, talking about it was a Johnny Cash song, "The Man Came to Town," and it's like it gave you goosebumps because it's like this guy is taking this team in this town on a ride.
And I heard Peter King say this week: the opposition knows he is getting the ball; they know it's coming, and they still can't stop Derrick Henry. And that makes this that much more impressive. That you know he's toting the rock over 30 times a game.
Yes.
In the playoffs, he had 32 carries for 211 yards and 3 touchdowns in the playoff clincher in Houston in week 17. He's the NFL leader in rushing yards this season. And I understand that CJ2K in 09 was an unreal season, and he had a lot of flash within his game, and he was a highlight reel in the making. But I tell you what Derrick Henry is doing right now is taking this city by storm, and he is the lead dog on a team that is now one win from the Super Bowl for the first time in 17 years.
I talked to Chris Johnson a week and a half ago, and I asked him what he thought about Derek and what he's doing, and this was before the Ravens game, and he said he smash and dash altogether. Let me give you this stat that from the NFL Research. Regular season and postseason, Derrick Henry versus stack boxes, which is 8 or more defenders. He had 135 rushes into such situations, most in the NFL. 729 yards in those situations, most in the NFL. 13 touchdowns. And that's when teams are loading up, trying to stop him. And he's still producing.
For sure. Well, coming up next, we'll continue this Derrick Henry conversation to the other side. Also, the significance of being in the AFC Championship for the first time in 17 years. Teresa, I'm going to want to know what you were doing 17 years ago. I'm going to tell everyone what I was doing 17 years ago. And this city was in a completely different state 17 years ago. We'll walk down memory lane a little bit coming up next right here on ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Yes, Kansas City does hear the train coming.
Woo woo.
In the flesh, King Henry. Woo woo. That was Tajay Sharpe introducing Derrick Henry at the press conference following Saturday's win in Baltimore.
Making a little fun of the whole Big Trust Ravens thing, which was rather nicely done by Tajay.
Absolutely. So we were talking Derrick Henry last segment and where, kind of big picture, where he's kind of standing in Titans history, and only Titans history, not including the Houston Oilers. And I'm putting him number three. He's number three for me right now behind Steve McNair and Eddie George. And I think a lot of people are, if they're not there, they're getting there with Derrick Henry. And he hasn't, you know, he's got the one big playoff game in Kansas City, the run in 1 month last season, and now this season leading the NFL in rushing yards, and what he's done this postseason. There's not a whole lot on his, in terms of, you know, time spent with the Titans, not a lot on his resume in terms of, you know, he's been doing this for a decade or 6, 7, 8 years like Steve McNair and Eddie George did. But in this short amount of time, he has done so much for this franchise and putting the team on his back that, you know, they're in the AFC Championship game for the first time in 17 years. I mean, listen to these stats that ESPN Stats and Info put out there earlier this week. Derrick Henry has the most rushing yards in his first 4 career postseason games, 561. Most rush yards in any 2-game span in playoff history at 377. Most consecutive games with 180 rushing yards, like we've talked about, with 3. And the stat, or one of the stats of many that we've seen on NFL Network, he is second all-time in terms of most rushing yards in an 8-game span, only trailing Adrian Peterson in 2012, where AP had like 1,300, and Derrick Henry is, I think, 40 yards short of that.
Yeah, 1,273 or something. Yeah,
in an 8-game span, that many rushing yards. So what Derrick Henry is doing right now is stuff of legend, and I kind of like to take a step back and look at the big picture while watching all this and think, man, this is not just a cool thing in the moment, what Derrick Henry is doing. We're going to think of Derrick Henry and this playoff run for a long, long time.
Oh, very long. Because of, and here's another stat, just his road games this season, counting the playoffs, over 1,000 yards.
Crazy.
Just road games. So he's doing things we have not seen done before, and done it at a point taking this team to the precipice of a Super Bowl. You know, franchise that's got one on their resume. You know, they're one of, like, just four who have not won the Super Bowl. And that includes Houston and Jacksonville and, you know, and Detroit. So they can get off the schneid in a lot of ways, but if they keep riding Derrick Henry. And that's what makes this so, yeah, I mean, I was there when the Titans won their first AFC championship game in Jacksonville, mm-hmm. went immediately to Atlanta and covered that game, thought they were going to have a chance to win that game at the end, and they just couldn't quite get there. But, you know, that was a massive moment. Because why? This had gone from 8-8 for 2 years. People ignored this team. Then they come in, go 13-3 in 99, open the new stadium, everyone's happy, and then they won, and they went to a Super Bowl. We're at a point, this team is just a couple years removed from going 5-27. As Mike Vrabel pointed out last week, underdogs, we still have about 20,000 fans each week in our own stadium. Okay, when Mecole Hardman scored a touchdown for the Chiefs against the Titans in November, he was able to do the Nissan Stadium leap into the arms of Chiefs fans, mm-hmm. because they traveled so well. And this is a moment for them to grab the fan base back and get their attention and notice that, yes, there's an NFL team in Nashville. So off the field, huge. On the field, massive, because they are this close to having a chance to play for the Lombardi Trophy.
Well, the last time the Titans played in an AFC championship game, January 19th, 2003, in Oakland. You were there, Teresa.
I was there covering for AP.
Rich Gannon and the Oakland Raiders carved up the Titans defense that day, 41-24. And I don't remember a ton about that game. I mean, look, I was in seventh grade. And that's how long this was ago. I mean, I had only lived in Middle Tennessee for a month. And, you know, we moved here in December of 02. But, you know, the Drew Bennett touchdown in the first half, distinctly remember the long pass down the sideline to Bennett. And then the John Simon fumble before the half.
That was
setting
a killer.
Setting up the Raiders field goal before half. And then in the second half, it just slowly
slipped away.
Rich Gannon, Charlie Garner, and that really, really good Raiders offense, just too much to handle that day.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. That year, Steve McNair deserved the MVP for what he did that season, getting them to that championship game. People forget the final 5 weeks of the regular season, he did not practice a single day. Mm. He started all five games, and he won all five games. You know, they started that season 1-4. Mm-hmm. And if somebody reminded me, well, it was eventually 2-4. Well, yes, that's when they started on the run, but they were 1-4 when they started that season. And then they got off the mat, and he carried them to an AFC championship game. And then at that certain point, though, things just kind of ran out. And could that happen tomorrow in Kansas City for the Titans? Absolutely. That said, the way Derrick Henry is running just seems to be the extra oomph factor. But, yeah, I was there. You're making me feel my age here, Ryan. Thank you so much.
Well, sorry to bring up 03, but just to kind of put it in perspective a little bit, the Nashville Predators had never made the playoffs.
Isn't that a crazy thought?
When the Titans last played in an AFC championship game, the stadium was called the Coliseum.
Because the first sponsor had gotten into legal trouble and they had to strip the Adelphia off.
Yes. So the number one hit in music at that time was Lose Yourself by Eminem. Great song.
Awesome song.
By the way, I love that song. I get jacked up every time I hear that song. The number one movie in January of 2003 was The Second Lord of the Rings.
That was a long time ago.
That's how long ago the Titans, that's how long it's been since the Titans have been in this position, one win from the Super Bowl.
It's astounding. And here's the thing. The last time they were in the Super Bowl, my son, who turns 21 in May, was a mere babe, just a few months old at that time. So, you know, he's seen the highlights. He's hoping that grandma wins some tickets in the lottery. If the Titans win tomorrow, he's praying and hoping that she can take him to a Super Bowl, because he's lived two decades since that happened. So this franchise is on the precipice. I mean, it's been a lot of years. You know, the first 5 years they were in, moved into that stadium. They were so good 99 through 2003 that they were among the very best in the NFL, and that carried them for over a decade. I did a look at the Bills and the Titans as part of the Music City Miracle in October, and, you know, Bills, it took them 17 years to get to the postseason period, and the Titans had gone and had a lot of success, and that kind of carried them. But yeah, they're back at a point where it's time to, you know, to make a stand if they're going, you know, and Amy Amon is strong. That's why she hired Mike Vrabel, and two seasons in, he's got him here.
He's got him here, and it's I hope Titans fans are soaking this in.
They should.
Because, like I said, 17 years. It's been 20 years since you've been in a Super Bowl, and whether they win tomorrow or not, this may not happen for another X amount of years. It's not like it's guaranteed that it's going to happen next season and they're going to be right there at that point. And I kind of bring it up to also go back to the Nashville Predators back in 2017. It was such a magical ride for 2 months. And a lot of people, I think, just expected it to happen the next year because they were better the next year. They won the President's
Trophy.
We
all thought that window was going to be wide open for a while, and now we are looking at a team that might not make the playoffs.
Sure. And the Tennessee Titans, they had two playoff wins between that AFC Championship appearance and this playoff run. Two playoff wins.
It's been a long time, a long drought.
Wild card wins in Baltimore in the 2003 season, but back in 04, January of 04, and then the wild card game 2 years ago in Kansas City.
And that's the one thing that kind of hurts. And this is where the Titans, if they can win tomorrow and get to a Super Bowl, kind of helps counteract the last home. You know, they haven't won a playoff game at home since January 2003 against the Steelers in overtime. So,
Joe Nedney.
Yes, and that's the thing. You know, they lost in 08 the divisional. Then they go on the road to Kansas City, and while that was a great win, then they go to new on the road. It's been away, you know. So it's like that's one reason why I'm curious to see what the turnout is at the watch party tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's on the road, is it a little tougher to really get onto that? But I will say I've seen more Titan flags on cars this week than I've seen in the last 15 years combined.
Oh yeah. You can definitely tell this town is back, and in terms of their support for the Titans, because it waned for a lot of years. Even 2 years ago when they were in the playoffs, I don't think a lot of people were believing in this team.
This season, I mean, they did not sell out this season. If they did, it might have been against the Chiefs. But, let's face it, that stadium has been lots of empty seats, lots of opposing fans.
For sure. Coming up next, does the Titans' recent history against Kansas City mean anything? We'll get to that next. Plus, what do we feel good about against the Chiefs? What do we not feel good about against the Chiefs? We'll get into all of that coming up next. She's Teresa Walker. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth and Teresa Walker here with you. Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin of WSMV coming up from 12 to 2 at McFadden's in Kansas City. They'll be live there, followed by Jared and the GM, a special Saturday edition of Jared and the GM from 2 to 6 p.m. 8 hours of coverage today on the Titans' appearance in the AFC Championship in Kansas City. And we will have 8 hours starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow leading into kickoff. Willie Donick and Derek Mason will have postgame right after from Boom Boz in East Nashville. So that's where I will be watching the game with some friends. That's where we have watched the last two games, and it is electric at Boom Boz in East Nashville. So if you're looking for a place to go and you don't want to deal with downtown, I know a lot of people don't like to deal with downtown, even though there's a lot of watch parties. They're closing down Broadway. If you don't want to deal with downtown, come to Boom Boz. It is a fun party at Boom Boz during those games.
Well, I have to admit, I'm going to be on my couch tweeting since, you know, I probably shouldn't be helping my colleagues since they didn't fly me there, but I've got good friends that'll be in the press box. So I'll be feeding them little Titans tidbits and tweeting away because I can't help myself.
We've been talking a lot of Derrick Henry this hour, and I came across this stat from ESPN Stats and Info. They tweeted this out last weekend after the win over Baltimore. Derrick Henry has more rush yards after contact, 233, this postseason than Ryan Tannehill has passing yards.
That,
160.
That shows that they're running the D ball and they are on the Derrick Henry train.
Another stat that I came across, the Titans are the third team since the 1970 merger to beat the number one scoring offense and the number one scoring defense in the same postseason, and the other two teams both won the Super Bowl, 88 49ers and the 04 Pats.
it seems like it's all just lining up, isn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. Another tweet that makes you think things are lining up for this team. Ed Werder, who's been in Kansas City all week, Ed Werder with ESPN tweeting out this morning saying, quote, "My sense while in Kansas City is that the Chiefs coaches are not optimistic about the chances of D lineman Chris Jones playing as he's done so little the past 2 weeks."
That would be a massive, massive ability for the Titans to run up the middle at that point and Ryan Tannehill to have more time to throw because,
sure,
you know, he got to Tannehill in the game here and he is a big piece of that defensive line. And that's the thing, compared to a week ago, the Ravens were all kind of like, yeah, we're not worried about Mark Ingram and his calf. We're not worried. And then he tried to play, was ineffective, and spent most of the game on the sideline with the calf wrapped.
Do you think the Titans' success against the Chiefs means anything in tomorrow's game?
No. Absolutely not. The confidence that they've got, you know, being 4-0 against them, and there's enough changes on this team that what matters most is the fact that they did beat them in November and the fact that they are 9-3 with Ryan Tannehill, but more importantly, the last 2 weeks, you mm-hmm. know, beating Tom Brady, Bill Belichick there with the banners up on the walls, going into Baltimore with that pregame light show and all the pizzazz and all the purple and the big truss around the town. That is what matters right now. Plus the fact that this team, knock on wood, is as healthy as they've been in quite a bit.
I'm going to say I think it does from a mental aspect a little bit.
Well, they certainly won their last divisional game there, or last playoff game there, so
sure,
that doesn't hurt.
And there are a lot of players from that team still on this roster. And I think that they are a very confident bunch. This is as confident of a Titans team as we've seen in many, many years.
Well, hey, LeSean Sims is a guy on that roster that he got an interception in the end zone,
yeah,
for Mike Mularkey, you know, in a December game there. So, you know, they have a very good memory of having made great plays in that building.
I have to say, though, it has to mean at least something.
I can allow that.
That this Titans team has had the Chiefs number in the last few years, right? I mean, I get it. It's AFC Championship and a lot of that stuff at the end of the day doesn't matter, but it has to at least a little bit factor in mentally for this Titans team. And on the other side, the Chiefs and Andy Reid.
That might be the bigger point.
And, you know, you combine their lack of success against the Titans versus their lack of success history-wise in the postseason and how they continue to come up short. Patrick Mahomes has never been a part of that history beyond last AFC Championship losing in overtime to New England. But I think there is going to be a little bit of hesitance from at least Chiefs fans and in that stadium tomorrow. They haven't been to a Super Bowl in such a long time.
1970. If you think that 1999 and the 2000 appearance for the Titans was long ago, 1970.
And you're facing a Titans team for whatever reason has had your number. I think there is going to be a little seed of doubt in Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow within Chiefs fans, especially if the Titans get up early.
Well, and I'm going to go to Andy Reid. You know, 1-8. You know, Titan fans remember when he took that timeout in the late December game I mentioned and gave Ryan Succop a second chance at the kick. He missed it the first time, and he knew on the second one he had to just put everything he could into kicking a brick on a cold, cold day. So, you know, yes, there's a little bit of confidence on the Titans side, but, you know, Andy, if there's a situation, does he take that timeout? Does he, you know, if it's a 4th-and-1, do you go for it? I mean, you know, that's where in these moments he's had his issues. So it's absolutely something to keep a very close eye on tomorrow.
What is the number one thing about this matchup that makes you feel good for the Titans going into tomorrow?
Probably Derrick Henry. I mean, the historic run that he's on. I mean, he's the bowling ball. Show me you can stop him, then I'll believe it because I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm. No one has proved that they can slow down Derrick Henry right now.
Exactly. That's why I do think the Titans win, is because that's what we're seeing. Nobody has been able to stop him. We've seen them load the box. They cannot stop him. And when you can't stop that, then you can throw the ball. And, you know, now, do I expect Ryan Tannehill to have to throw the ball a lot more tomorrow than the last two games? Yes. Patrick Mahomes is on the other side, and they are amazing. But stop Derrick Henry and show me what else you can do.
But we said the same thing about Ryan Tannehill going into Baltimore.
Yep.
And it didn't prove to be the case. in terms of needing more from Ryan Tannehill
in that
game.
Well, he threw for, 16 more yards? So, yeah, he threw for more yards.
Yes, absolutely.
But it didn't help. I mean,
but at the end of the day, it was all about the defense making clutch plays and Derrick Henry toting the rock for that offense.
Old school football. You know, remember a couple years ago, it's like, oh, you got to be able to throw the ball to be able to win in the NFL and go, no. San Francisco 49ers may have Jimmy G, but they ran the ball last week to win their game against the Vikings. You have to be able, and everything comes back around. Look at defenses. You know, these linebackers that are trying to stop Derrick Henry, they were built to be fast so that they could cover sideline to sideline. They weren't drafted because they were built in huge and hefty guys that could go stop a 247-pound running back.
I would agree with you that Derrick Henry is the number one thing that I feel good about going into tomorrow. But for you, what's the number one thing that you don't feel good about in this matchup against the Chiefs?
I'm going to have to say the defense because, again, Patrick Mahomes is incredible. And, you know, you got away with the win in November against him when he was coming off of the leg injuries and it was his first game back after 3 weeks and it was an amazing recovery. And you held them to 6 field goal attempts that day. They botched the snap on one and then Kalu got the block on the 6th one. Can they hold them to that many field goal attempts again on Sunday? That's going to be, you know, that's not easy to do the first time. To do it twice, that could be something.
If there's anyone I trust, though, it's Dean Pease.
Absolutely.
To put together a game plan that can at least contain that offense. You're not going to completely stop them. I would be shocked if they give up less than 20 points tomorrow to that Chiefs offense.
Jarrell Casey was not on the field in November. That was one of the games he missed with the shoulder. He had hurt it on the 4th-and-1 against Tampa, and so he was, I think it was Tampa, so he was not on the field that day. So, you know, that's a huge, huge piece in the middle of the defense for the Titans. As much as we're talking about Chris Jones for the Chiefs, getting Jarrell Casey back, massive, because he played maybe the game of his life in Baltimore last week.
The number one thing for me that I don't feel good about is Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is an absolute beast, and yes, Jayon Brown, it looks like he is going to play. That would be a fantastic addition to the defense, but if he's not 100%, yes, I get that his legs are going to be completely fine because it was a shoulder injury that he suffered up there in New England, but man. And that is still, even with Jayon Brown at 100%,
tough
task.
2 years ago, he was having a great first half, and then Jonathan Cyprian hit him and knocked him out of that game, literally. And that was one of the things that helped the Titans mount that incredible comeback. So now here's the thing to note. Travis Kelce is also on that injury report this week. After the game last week, you know, it was being mentioned as a calf injury, but he was listed all week as a knee injury. So he does have something that he's dealing with as well. So does that maybe help the equalizer? We're going to have to stay tuned and see. But he is very dangerous. And as we have seen in the Titans' tenure here, it doesn't matter who the tight end is. Tight ends that are good, particularly good, can really roam wild against the Titans' defense.
It's crazy how that works. No matter how good the defense has been, good or bad, tight ends have lit them up over the years.
Jack Doyle, Antonio Gates, Eric Ebron. I mean, you can go on and on and on.
And Travis Kelce has been one that has lit them up. He had 4 catches for 66 yards and a touchdown in that first half of the wild card game against the Titans before he got knocked out.
And can you imagine what it would have been if he had not gone out of that game?
They probably do not win that game.
No. If Travis Kelce was on the field, there's no way they would have won that game.
It changed the entire dynamic of that Chiefs offense that day.
Yes, it took away Alex Smith's security blanket.
100%. Coming up next, the Titans will win if what happens. We'll get to that next. Plus, we'll have our final thoughts before heading up to Kansas City, where all of our live coverage is brought to you by Bojangles. Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin will be coming at you from McFadden's in Kansas City at noon in the Power and Light District up there in downtown KC. All of that's coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth alongside Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. Coming up at the top of the hour, Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin of WSMV, live from McFadden's in Kansas City. A lot of Titans fans traveling to Kansas City.
I've seen pictures of people loading up the planes. Vivid Seats had a thing earlier in the week, and that maybe 25% of the crowd could be Titan fans.
That's crazy.
It is, but here's the thing: if you might be a diehard Chiefs fan, but if you're so convinced that this team's going to the Super Bowl, we've seen it with Alabama. Let's save the money at the semifinal game because we're going to the championship game, and we'll spend our money there. So
that's true.
But nothing is promised and nothing is given in this world.
Chiefs fans should know that.
You would think.
But maybe they're trying to make money off their tickets and use that money to go to the Super Bowl.
And it's a sound business policy. The problem is, again, the games are decided on the field. And as a colleague once told me a long time ago, that's the reason why they play the games, is because things happen.
I don't think that many Titans fans went to Kansas City 2 years ago. There's no way.
It does feel like, and now here's the thing, that was the wild card round. So there's a lot more buzz that has built around this team over the last 2 weeks because of what they've done in New England and in Baltimore. So I do think that there is more excitement, there's been more time, and it's like, they're in a championship game. Well, let's go.
Well, there was a lot more buzz just down the stretch and going into the playoffs for this team than there was for that team 2 years ago. I mean,
that team was
they kind of backed into the playoffs. Yes. They weren't winning pretty. A lot of ugly wins. You think of the Jacksonville game in Week 17 that year. It was great that they made the playoffs. Great that they won against Kansas City. But they just weren't on the same level as the other great teams that year.
They were New England, the afterthought.
Sure. And right now they're in the mix.
Totally.
And you felt like they could be in the mix down the stretch when they were scoring all those points with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry running wild. And this offense being so explosive, unlike any Titans offense we've ever seen before.
Correct. I mean, Billy Volek put up some points and a lot of yards back in 2004. But, he had a great game against the Chiefs on a cold night, and it just didn't matter because that team was going nowhere.
They couldn't stop a nosebleed that night.
Exactly. So my nose was running just because it was so cold, even in the press box. But, we're seeing things that this offense has not done in the state of Tennessee. It's that simple.
So for you, Teresa, if this happens tomorrow, the Titans win, what is that if? What needs to happen for this Titans team to win tomorrow?
Ryan Tannehill has to throw a couple of touchdowns because I'm taking for a given that Derrick Henry is going to run for at least 150, maybe even 180 again, as absurd as that even sounds as I say it. But I do think Tannehill is going to have to throw at least a couple of touchdowns.
I'm going to say the Chiefs have to attempt more field goals than they score touchdowns.
That's another good one. We could also say the defense is going to have to come up with at least one turnover.
Maybe multiple.
True.
But you know what? I trust those playmakers on the defense right now to make those plays. Even though Patrick Mahomes is on a completely next level from Lamar Jackson in terms of throwing the ball. In terms of, Lamar Jackson had a fantastic season, but Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the sport right now.
He is amazing, especially with Lamar Jackson, who I do believe will be this year's MVP, sidelined at this point for at least until August.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, last year's MVP, would not be surprised if he has his way a lot tomorrow. I mean, he is so tough to slow down. But at the same time, Dean Pease at defensive coordinator, I trust him to put together a game plan that can at least contain them. And the bend but don't break kind of, mantra of this defense. They gave up over 500 yards to the Ravens last week. We talked about their defensive performance last week like they completely stopped Lamar Jackson. They had their way at different points in that game, but once they reached a certain point and those two fourth and ones, the Titans made a play, the Ravens did not. You got to make plays against this Chiefs offense.
Without a doubt. And this is where, up on the front, Jarrell Casey, Daquan Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, and Harold Landry, those guys are going to be so key because, we know that Patrick Mahomes is going to throw the ball. But if they can get pressure on him to get that ball out even a tick faster, get him a little off schedule, that'll give the chance for maybe a tip pass, pick, those kind of things.
You know what name that we haven't talked a lot about on defense that I think has definitely made an impact in the second half of this season during this entire run is Jeffrey Simmons.
He was a guy when they drafted. My thought was, if they could get him for one or two games at the end of the year, and he got on the field in October, and he has had his moments. You know, Daquan Jones had a big play on the goal line stand in New England, but Simmons is the guy who recovered the strips. You know, when Casey stripped Lamar Jackson on the sack of the ball, it was Simmons who fell on it. So he has been quietly kind of overshadowed at times, mm-hmm. but he has had plays, at least one in every game, that has made an impact, tipping in a ball that Jayon Brown intercepted in the end zone, those yep. kind of things. And this is his moment to, you know, show off his strength and how much he's learned in this rookie year and be impactful.
And it's really been in the trenches where the Titans have been taking over games.
Yes.
You know?
Like, offensive line, defensive line, completely.
Jarrell Casey has been better since Jeffrey Simmons has yes. been on the same line next to him. Jarrell Casey early in the season didn't look like himself. But
he
now
was taking
that,
on so many double teams.
Sure.
But and now that, who do you double team now?
Exactly. And now that you have another impact defensive lineman next to you, Jarrell Casey has been more impactful. And the offensive line, you mentioned earlier in the show that Roger Saffold told you it was really the bye week where this thing came together. And that offensive line has been completely dominant. As much as we want to talk about Derrick Henry and how good he has been, the offensive line has had a major assist in that, in opening huge holes for him.
There have been times they're getting such a push, especially in the postseason, that sometimes he's 3 to 4 yards downfield before he's touched. You know, we talk about those yards after contact. Well, they're coming because they're getting such a mash, and he's getting up to that point before he's getting any contact. And that's part of why they've had such success running the ball. Mm-hmm. And he was critical of himself early. He had given up a couple sacks in the first month or so. And he said, I've gone seasons without giving up that many sacks. So, you know, it just took time for them to mesh. But right now they've meshed completely, and the communication is much improved from the beginning of the year. It's amazing.
I love watching 22 run. I love watching when Henry reaches the second level, because you just know
a stiff arm's coming.
A stiff arm is coming, or he's going to run over somebody. Something is about to happen when he reaches that second level, and that's been happening a lot lately.
The phrase that goes through my mind is, Mama, there goes that man again. Mm-hmm. And he seems to have at least one of those moments in every game that he plays.
Like, when we're watching at Boomba's, when he reaches that second level, everyone's on their feet. Like, you just, it's just that feeling. You know when Derrick Henry reaches that second level, it's, you know, someone is about to get a stiff arm to the face. So.
And he got caught from behind on that 66-yarder last week, so it's got me wondering what's he going to do tomorrow, because he seems to be the kind of guy who is so self-critical and a perfectionist that it's like, oh, I got caught. Yes, he was a little tired in that game. I mean, he had over 30 carries. Mm-hmm. I want to see what happens tomorrow. I think that's going to be in the back of his head.
Do you think that was due to the hamstring at all?
No, I do think it was more due to the number of carries that he had had in that game, because, you know, since they gave him the week off against New Orleans, week 16, he has looked completely healthy. It's amazing how that seemed to get that hamstring sure. by him.
That was his third consecutive carry, I think, at that point. He got it on first down, second down, and then it was third and short, and he just, you know, ran out of steam down there inside the 10.
And that's the thing. Mike Vrabel said that when he needs a breather, he comes to the sideline. But mostly it's like, just go give me the ball.
What's your feeling on the game tomorrow? What's your prediction?
Titans 31-28. Yeah, that's a tight one. I'd rather it be a little bit more like the last 2 weeks, but you know, it is an AFC Championship game against a team that went to overtime a year ago.
I don't know if my heart can handle a close game tomorrow.
Breathe deep. That's the advice I keep giving.
A lot of deep breaths tomorrow.
Yes.
A lot of them.
It's the postseason. It's supposed to be hard. There's a Super Bowl berth on the line.
Titans win 27-24.
See, that's a three-point spread as well. That's yep. just as tight there, Ryan.
And I'm going to say Greg Joseph
makes his first field goal to win the game?
Well, it would be his second of the game.
Oh, that's true.
But it would be poetic for him to kick it at the, you know, at the horn to send this team to the Super Bowl. For him, he hasn't attempted a field goal since they signed him in week 16, and then he becomes the hero. It would be just like this Titans team that has had, while Derrick Henry has been the guy and Ryan Tannehill has also been the guy, they've had all these different unsung heroes along the way. It's time for a kicker to actually be the unsung hero and not the GOAT.
That would be amazing. And that would help totally help revive the kicker position for this franchise for this season.
Absolutely. Teresa Walker of the Associated Press, thank you so much for coming in and joining me on this Saturday.
My pleasure, Ryan.
For Teresa Walker, I'm Ryan Porth. Coming up next, live from McFadden's in Kansas City, all of our coverage from Kansas City brought to you by Bojangles. Coming up next, Chase McCabe we'll be joined by Joe Dubin of WSMV. And then Jared and the GM at 2 o'clock. And then Predators pregame at 6 o'clock as they host the Buffalo Sabres. They are wearing their white Winter Classic jerseys tonight, a whiteout at Bridgestone Arena. And then live coverage starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow with Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell. And we will also be live postgame with Willie Donick and Derek Mason. 18 hours of live coverage this weekend right here on these airwaves.
Y'all are taking them to church.
We absolutely are. And now we're going to take it to Kansas City coming up next. Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin are coming up next right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.